Today on Real Radio.
As suffering increases against us personally, where or what will you do with it? Will you say, I've had enough of this Christianity. That's it. I'm a fair weather follower. I ring the bell. I'm out. I'm done. Or will you say, you know what? I'm hanging in there.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We're looking at the last three paragraphs of chapter 11. Now, it's a sizable portion of Scripture where Paul talks about many of his sufferings just because he was proclaiming the true gospel, even when false apostles tried to undo his work. Now, if there's anyone in the Bible who knows what it means to suffer for the sake of Christ, it's Paul the Apostle. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now. It's a lesson called, What Are You Suffering For?
There's a world out there that will stand up against you. And by the way, that's a little benign family setting, but if you keep pressing Jesus as Lord and Savior, in fact, a little bit of side advice here. When you do get the chance to pray over the Thanksgiving when all your believing or unbelieving neighbors are around or friends or relatives, use it as a time to preach the gospel. Just make it short because everybody's hungry. Just say, Lord, thank you for this turkey. And thank you, God, that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And as this turkey was sacrificed for us, Jesus was sacrificed for us, that this turkey will give us the strength to continue on. Jesus in his resurrection gives us the strength and the power to walk in the Spirit. And thank you that Jesus rose again from the dead, unlike this turkey that we'll never see another day again. And God, you're awesome. And Jesus, thank you, Lord God. And let me, amen. And everyone's going to be like this. But do it, seize it. When you take a stand, the world's going to hate you. When you take a stand, you're going to have enemies. And when you take a stand for Christ, you're going to suffer. And that should be no surprise to us. But is our identity with Jesus, as you know him, worthy? Is it a relationship that's worthy of attack, for one thing? Is it a relationship, listen, that is clear that it's not of this world? A suffering that you and I go through, it's not of this world. Watch what Paul says. Now, look. You have the Judaizers on one side, and you got Paul on the other side. So watch this. Verse 22. Are they Hebrews? Paul is conceding the fact. Corinthians, are they Hebrews? Yes, they're Hebrews. So they take out their little chalk, and they mark, touchdown for them. Paul says, so am I. Oh, touchdown for Paul. It's one-to-one. Are they Israelites? And they were Israelites. Touchdown for them. That's two. Two-to-one. Paul says, so am I. Oh, 2-2. Are you with me? They're keeping score. Next thing. Are they of the seed of Abraham? This gets kind of dicey, but I see Paul's argument because they really weren't of the seed of Abraham. But according to the DNA, they were of the seed of Abraham. It's 3-2. Paul says, so am I. Oh, it's 3-3. And then watch this. He gives them this. Are they ministers of Christ? Now, he's being gracious to them. Yep, they say they're ministers of Christ. 4-3. They're in the lead. And Paul says, are you kidding me? I more so. All right, we'll give you that. So now it's 4-4, tied. Paul, tied with four. Judaizers, legalists, who are trying to get people to get to heaven by believing in Jesus and doing all these good works and doing all these things in conjunction with the law. 4. It's 4-4, tie score. And watch what Paul does. Listen, our relationship to Christ is not of this world, which means the Christian in any age, in any culture, will not be accepted by this world. Christians, let's wake up to the fact that we are not going to be welcomed by this world. Stop trying to get the world to like you. It will never like you unless you keep your mouth shut, never mention Jesus, and frankly, come inside this church, they would like to seal up the door so that you never leave. But the moment you take Christianity out into the world in which God has sending you out tomorrow to work, to school, to vacation, to wherever you go, the world wants you to be quiet. And I want you to think about that. Why is that true? Because there is a spiritual war, there's powers going on in the invisible scene that is trying to shut down, not so much you, but it's the gospel within you. And the gospel within you is power. And it scares the world. We're going to see as when we end this message just how scared the world gets. It's not of this world. And so it's 4-4. But something interesting is about to happen. By the way, have you noticed this? In fact, in Luke chapter 11, verse 46, when you talk about legalists, these guys were amazing. These legalists that were attacking Paul, let's remember in our previous studies, they were rich, they were extremely great orators. And we know from history that they dressed up really amazing, they had money, they could talk, they had an entourage, they had a string of black donkeys, black windows, black antennas on the back of the rumps of all the donkeys. They had security guys with little wires running alongside there. And these guys got off and they were the great speakers and they would orate and pontificate in front of the people. And the Corinthians would go, oh, these guys are wonderful. And they were treated with all kinds of perks. And here comes Paul. You could almost hear him squeaking as he walked. His donkey had a door hanging off, you know, it's all dented up, had one ear. You know, it was a mess. And Jesus said in Luke 11, 46, he says, woe to you, lawyers. Now that's a word for some of you here today. No, I'm kidding. No, he doesn't mean lawyers. These were students of the law. For you load men with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers. That's how legalists operate. They will tell you all the rules that you need to keep to be in their group. But they, in secret, they don't even do them themselves. Jesus says, woe to you. You're in big trouble. And so that's those guys on this side, and then there's Paul on the other side. And then not only that, verse 23 teaches us that it will not be for this world. You and I, my friend, as Christians, are suffering in this world. We're not of this world. The message is not of this world, even though we can go down a list of things like this. Like Paul talks about being an Israelite and being a Hebrew and being a minister of Christ and all. He can do that. Well, listen, so can you in such a way. Maybe even your own family. You can say to your own brother or sister, you're born in the same town. You were born of mom and dad and all these things we have in common. Listen, this has happened to maybe all of us, if not many of us. But this is where we split. We split over the very, very deep personal things regarding Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know how that sets with you, because you may be thinking, well, if we love Jesus and follow Jesus, everyone, there's just going to, you can smell almost like lavender in the air and roses. There'll be a rainbow over our head all the time. And there'll be a sound of both angels' wings and music wherever we go. No, there won't. No, because, listen, it's not of this world, and it's not for this world that we live. Jesus said, can you listen? In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus said that because of your association with me, a man's own family will become his enemy. Isn't that a shocker? Well, in verse 22, this is where he splits with those guys because they were all about comfort, fame, and wealth. Paul says, well, okay, here you go. So it's 4-4. How about this one? In labor is more abundant. This is an amazing word. In labors, this is hard labor. This is like word used for being in prison in labor. Paul is imprisoned to the will of God. Paul is chained to the gospel ministry. When he says in labors often, this word means to the point of absolute exhaustion, brokenness. Now, all of a sudden, the Corinthians are going, They look at their beautifully clad, amazing orators, decked out in all of this pomp and glory, and they go, can you agree with that in laborers? And they go, no. Oh, now it's 5-4 in favor of Paul. And so shall it be in the life of the Christian in this world that you and I live in. Here's the proof of his apostleship, and it's the proof of you and I being a Christian. As suffering increases against us personally, where or what will you do with it? Will you say, I've had enough of this Christianity, that's it. I'm a fair weather follower, I ring the bell, I'm out, I'm done. Or will you say, you know what, I'm hanging in there. I'm saying this, clinging to Jesus, the more and longer we walk with them down this path in these days, the more people are going to discover you're a Christian, you're a Christ follower. And the world's going to say, I don't know if I like you even opening your mouth. I want you to sit in the corner and be quiet. This is our world, and you don't belong here. And listen, we belong here for only as long as God keeps us here. And listen, you're right, it's not our world, it's our Father's world. And we are on mission to announce to every man and woman, boy and girl possible about the love of God. But that makes people upset, it makes people nervous. But it's not going to be for this world. When he says stripes above measure, stripes, these are beatings. Look at verse 23, beatings. Prisons, look at that, it's prisons, plural. Multiple times he was imprisoned. I'm wondering if you would hire a pastor to be your pastor if he had a rap sheet of being arrested. What are your qualifications for pastoring us? I've been beaten up a lot. Can you imagine? And deaths often. Deaths. How do you die often? This is an amazing statement. It means that Paul had been brought to the point of death. In fact, he had resigned the fact, oh, looks like I'm going to die now. Listen, before you were a Christian, remember how you were afraid to die? And it's kind of a funny thing now, because before we were Christians, we were afraid to die, and we hoped we'd live here forever. Then we became a Christian, and now we're not afraid to die, and it's like, Jesus, are you going to come today? It's almost like we have an interesting little weird death wish, huh? When Paul says, I've had deaths often, you say, what does that mean? It means things like this for us today. Have you ever said something like, man, that thing was so hard, I'd rather die than do that again. Have you ever said that? It's a saying. Now, his is more intense than ours. But it's like, that was so difficult. As a Christian, I'm telling you right now, death would be easier than going through that again. Paul is saying this, ministry has been so difficult. It'd been easier to die. Unfortunately, I didn't die. I wound up being brought to the point of almost death numerous times. And then he turns and asks people, would you like to be a Christian too? Can you imagine? Oh, you're going to appreciate him more as we go through this. By the way, before we go much further, look what it says right here. When it says in these labors and these stripes and these imprisonments and these deaths, I want to put up four maps for you, one at a time, in chronological order really quick. You guys, Paul the Apostle, keep this in mind. He did this map on the wall. Here's his first journey. You see right here? Here's Jerusalem and Caesarea. So he launches out. I don't know why they didn't include this part, but that's a long way. That's over 100 miles. But anyway, he goes to Cyprus, and he goes into southern area of Turkey today and follows his footsteps, and he goes back. That's his first journey. Okay, now look. You see, well, that's no big deal. Well, let me tell you something. If you were in the Middle East for a week and you were taking a tour on a bus or on a boat, that's a big deal. That's probably a good 8-9 day tour. Air conditioning, food, cruise ship. Paul had his feet, maybe a camel or a donkey. All the while, people didn't like him. Next slide. Second missionary journey. Starts in Jerusalem. Heads up to Antioch, which now becomes the headquarters of the church. And he goes to Tarsus. This is where he was born. Derbe, all along the way, when you read the book of Acts, he's getting beat up. He's in big trouble. Scandals. They're trying to kill him. In fact, it doesn't start out very good right here. He gets arrested in Jerusalem because he talks about the resurrection. 270 soldiers are given to protect him. They bring him down by horse to Caesarea just to protect him, because the Jewish leadership want to tear him in pieces for preaching resurrection. He goes to this area of Turkey. Ladies and gentlemen, this is serious topography here. This is amazing. Listen, I got news for you. You're not going to make this journey in your lifetime. A high probability you won't make it. It's beautiful, but it's very mountainous and crazy. He keeps going. North of the Aegean Sea, he departs out of Troas, goes up to Philippi, Thessalonica, Apollonia, down to Berea. Look at this. What's that? Corinth, Athens, You guys, can I remind you this? 2,000 years ago, no travel agencies. Next slide. Third journey, Jerusalem, Tyre and Sidon, across the Mediterranean, in this area of Pamphylia. There's the island of Rhodes, beautiful place. Samos, Ephesus, Turkey today, Izmir, up again, visits the churches that were started earlier in his journeys, back over to Corinth, retracing the steps back home, third journey. Fourth and final journey, paid for 100% by the Roman government. He appeals to Caesar, remember that? Or as a Roman citizen, he says, that's it. I appealed to Caesar to make my case. They said, listen, you appeal to Caesar you shall go. You have that right. He comes out of Jerusalem all this way. You see this? You ever feel like this? Shipwrecked, lost at sea. Third time. Winds up making it. They make it to Sicily, Syracuse, makes it through the strait, eventually taken to Rome. I've had a chance to go there and be there and stand in his Mamertine prison where Paul was beheaded, taken out and beheaded. This is his life, 2,000 years ago. Why do I bring that up? Because I want you to consider this. Scholars agree that regarding the apostle's life, that at least he traveled 6,700 miles by sea. To give you an idea, it's 5,800 miles for us to get on a plane in LA and fly over the top of the globe and land in Tel Aviv. It's 5,700 miles. Paul traveled 6,700 miles by boat alone. By land, he traveled 5,400 miles in his lifetime. In a total, Paul traveled 12,000 miles plus in his lifetime. For what? For a cruise? For Jesus. He suffered things that you and I will never suffer in life, no matter how bad life gets for us. And I want to ask you, for whom you know Jesus, is that kind of relationship worthy of your affection, worthy of your attention, worthy of your association? I say, yes, it is. I say, yes, it is. You say, Jack, this is very sobering. It should be sobering. This man is bearing his heart to us, and all of a sudden, it's like 39 to 4. Because these people who are professional religionists, all they knew was comfort and ease. They had never paid the price. When it got like that, they stopped. Paul said, you want to match things up? I'll meet your 4 and I'll raise you 23. Of things marked down that they never experienced because they were following legalism and a false deity, Paul was following Jesus Christ. And in this world, it's costly. But how worthy is it? Now look, in our ease and our comfort, on a perfect day like this, this message may not mean much to us. But it may be that the next time you and I have a rough day, we're going to want to go back to 2 Corinthians 11 and be reminded about how faithful our God is to bring us through things. And the Bible is very graphic about what it has to say. In Acts chapter 14, by the way, in 2 Corinthians 11, 2 Corinthians 11 takes us up to about Acts chapter 19 in its chronology, because after that hadn't been written yet. So watch this. In Acts 14, the Bible tells us, then the Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. Now these people knew how to stone people. Do you think they thought he was dead for reals? Was he dead? I think he was dead. We'll talk about that next week. I think he was dead. But be that as it may, the stoners, not the druggies, but the stoners were convinced that he was dead. I think they knew what they were talking about. It says that they stoned Paul, dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. Verse 20, however, when the disciples gathered around him, I assume they prayed, I don't know, he rose up and went into the city. What? No, look, he's a normal man. He doesn't have like, you know, he's not like Iron Man armor. He didn't like snap his finger and his helmet pop over his head and his armament comes out and let's go back into the city. This is little Paul. He gets up. Look, at least, will you give him this? At least he's bloodied up, bruised and hurting. And he gets up. Oh, man. man, I got a splitting headache. But anyway, let's go back in the city and keep preaching the gospel. Let's go. Come on. Can you imagine? Look, all of a sudden now, it's like, wait, I don't know if I'm like Paul or not. I don't know if I know the same God that he knows. But all of a sudden now I'm thinking, I don't know if I want to be his friend. Can you imagine being on his ministry team? Are you sure you want to do this? I bet you they try to say, Paul, just calm down now. You're beside yourself. Look, you got hit in the head. You're not thinking right. He went back into the city. He wasn't insane. It's how much he loved lost souls. You know what? I have to confess. I pray for my neighbor's salvation, but I don't cry over them. I can't tell you. I have to confess. I haven't broken down in tears, lamenting and weeping and interceding for their souls. I pray for their souls, but I'm not brought to the point of being broken over them. What about your mom or your dad or your boss or your employees? What about your sister, your husband, or your wife? Are you praying for their soul because eternity is in the balance to the point where you're weeping for them and interceding for them? Paul had a heart for the lost. I'm sorry, I must confess that if those people stoned me because they didn't want to hear the gospel, I would have shaken the dust off my feet and say, well, you know what? You guys can just all fry in the pit for all I care. In Jesus' name, bye-bye. Paul said, listen, he would have rebuked me and said, you know what? You get in the back of the line. I'm going to go back there and preach. These people are lost, Jack. Don't you know that? They're lost. They didn't know what they're doing. They didn't know who they're working for. They're blinded by the enemy. Man. The second thing we see in verses 24 to 28 is this. What are you suffering for? Is it a wise cause? Because we all suffer for stuff. Are you suffering for Wall Street? I mean, I'm not knocking it. But is that your identity? Is your identity hooked to the value of the dollar or the value of gold? Is your identity hooked to your education or to your praise or to your influence? Is that what your identity is hooked to? Listen, those things are not bad. In fact, they can be very good if your identity and your cause is Christ. So it leads me to ask myself, as I get to verse 24, what do I believe, really? He says, from the Jews, this is the Jewish religious leadership, five times I received 40 stripes minus one. You say, what does that mean? It means exactly what it says. He was sentenced five different times to 40 lashes. 40 lashes. Don't do it now, but go look up a Roman scourge, a flagellum. It'd make you sick to your stomach looking at it. Had glass in it, rock, metal, and fish bones. It had nine leather straps that came out of a wooden ball connected to a wooden handle. Nine leather straps, and each of those things had glass, bone, metal in it, rock. And so with one hit, you kind of got hit nine times, but that was considered one hit. Paul the apostle, a little man, was hit five times 39 equals 195 times.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called What Are You Suffering For? It's a lesson taken from the last three paragraphs of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. What are you suffering for? Part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse series through this New Testament letter, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Hey, if you are a regular listener to Real Radio, why wouldn't you let Pastor Jack know about it? More and more Real Radio listeners are sending us emails all the time with words of encouragement, like this one. Pastor Jack, my wife Janet and I have been listening to you since June of last year. Your detailed and easy-to-follow teachings have been such a blessing for us and our marriage. Thank you, Pastor Jack. That comes from Alex. Well, that's an encouraging word, Alex. We appreciate it very much. And you too, Janet, by the way. Again, just drop us a quick note and let us know that Pastor Jack is making a difference in your life and that you appreciate Real Radio. Visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org and simply click Contact Us. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.